next 4 years, which is to raise taxes.
Polls show that they are trailing President Obama in the key battleground state. NBC's Chuck Todd says holding on to Ohio is a key to his reelection.
He now only needs a couple of states, a couple of the big states, big three that I talk about all the time, Ohio, Florida, Virginia, just a couple of ways, and he gets over the finish line.
The president will also be in Ohio today, making stops in Bowling Green and Kent. Ann Romney was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and says, yes, it's true.
And that's all I was talking about, shopping at Costco, which...
You don't buy it?
I'm not sure I buy it. Does he really shop at Costco?
What we love Costco. And I don't know how much of an endorsement is that. Okay. We love Costco. Yeah,
okay. This is NBC News Radio. San Francisco lawmakers have postponed voting on a proposal that would make the city home to some of the smallest apartments in the country. A proposed building code change would allow apartments as small as 220 square feet. How small is that? Here's NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
About the size of a small RV. Opponents worry about overcrowding, but the trend is spreading. In New York, the mayor is holding a design contest to encourage more micro units there.
There is clearly a changing demographic and need for a different kind of housing model.
My TV's back here.
Beth Hennessy downsized from a three-bedroom house into this micro unit, once afraid of fitting her life into a few hundred square feet.
That was a big fear of mine, and it hasn't held me back at all.
Now living small and loving it. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, San Francisco.
I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Neuroman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
When the economy fell apart a few years ago and our spending was severely cut back, developers of shopping centers, especially strip malls, sidelined their projects. But now they're dusting off their old plans and moving ahead. Wall Street Journal reports companies including Regency Centers, Weingarten Realty, and Brixmore are now reviving mothballed shopping center projects, mostly in the suburbs. Even during the worst economic times, as we stopped eating in restaurants, going to the movies, and buying clothes at full price, research finds there was one thing on which we were still willing to splurge. Cell phone plans. The Labor Department reports spending on phone services increased more than 4% last year, the fastest rate since 2005. In fact, up every year from 2007 through last year. This while spending on vehicles, apparel, entertainment, and food outside the home all fell back. Stock markets across most of the world lower, but S&P futures are gaining 0.2 of a point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Well, here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HT Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HT Faces. Try it.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. It is the 26th day of September 2012, and once again, a pleasure and an honor to serve you over the next 4 hours. I am feeling quite optimistic today, and just in general, not over any particular issue, as we continue to organize and continue to look to the future with a sense of possibility. Yep, optimism is not a bad thing. Also not going to be our first word, but optimism is not a bad thing. And if I have to take optimism over pessimism, well, obviously optimism will rule the day. And happy that I'm feeling that way this morning. Don't know why, don't care. I'll just take it. You know, some days you just, you know, wake up and you feel a certain way. We don't always understand why that is, but we just kind of have to revel in what the Lord gives us. And anyway, good morning to each and every one of you. We've got a great show planned for you throughout this Wednesday morning, and very excited to bring it to you. Let me kind of give you a rundown of what's going on, and then we'll get this thing going. In the 7 o'clock hour, we are going to visit with Dawood Waleed. He is, of course, the executive director of CARE. Many of you have heard the heartbreaking story of the gentleman in Flint, who the professor from Mont Community College, whose son went to Iran to visit his grandmother. He went missing for 4 months. Come to find out, the Iranian government arrested him for being a spy, which he is not. And now that his father is quite ill, he wants to see his son again. Dawood Waleed is leading the effort to try to get to Ahmadinejad, who is in New York at the UN conference, to see if they can broker some kind of arrangement. Dawood is willing to go to Iran to pick this young man up. His name is Amir. We'll talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour. In fact, the young man we're speaking of is a former U.S. Marine, and from what I've read, just an absolutely stand-up young man. And at 7:30, we're actually going to take a look at the 47%. I'm going to guess most of us are in the 47%. Most of us, not all of us. But with that said, what does that really mean? And was this much ado about nothing? Are there stories worth listening to? Perhaps you have one. Perhaps I have one. Well, some people do. MoveOn.org, ask people to submit videos. We have some of that audio that we want to share with you, and then we want to have that conversation. Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, joins us at 8 o'clock, as he does every week. We've got lots to get to, including the presidential race and ballot issues. Planned Parenthood's Lori Lamoran joins us in the Ask Lori segment today. First time we've done this. Those of you that set questions in advance, you will hear your questions in the 8:30 half hour. Candidate James Wynn will join us. He's running for Macomb County Commissioner. Now you're saying, okay, well, why are you having a Macomb County Commissioner candidate on? Well, because he's one of those guys that gets ignored. Whenever you're in a race where somebody says you can't win, even your friends don't support you. And, well, he's kind of in that situation. I thought I'd give him a little tip of my hat this morning. We'll get to him, and then we'll round out the day with Eric Barron from MichiganLiberal.com. He wrote a post the other day about how successful the business of Michigan medical marijuana is and why some lawmakers despise that success. Yep, you got it, Republicans. Let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Advocacy. Advocacy. Do you know what it means to be an advocate? It's to stand up for or stand up for something or someone. Advocacy. Dawood Walid is an advocate right now for this Flint family, but he's an advocate for issues. He's a very passionate and considerate and compassionate and wonderful human being. Why? Because I watch him from afar. I see the work that he does in trying to make a little sense out of the insanity that has become really widespread Muslim hate. Oh my, oh my. Yes, you don't have to have just brown skin, just a little darker skin to be discriminated against. And we know that people just still don't understand the Arab community. And perhaps they never will, which is a shame for them because, well, some of my best friends are Arab American. How you like that? You know, listen, it comes to a point where we need more advocates, whether it's for, again, a person or an issue. Sometimes we just don't know how to speak for ourselves or defend ourselves. I would reckon that's why we have as many lawyers as we do. They are advocates in their own right. Listen, whether you are advocating for a cause, let's say it's, I don't know, LGBT issues, or let's say you're an advocate for people with disabilities, or you're an advocate for somebody that likes to wear red socks, I don't care. You have a right to that advocacy. But you also have a responsibility to be informed, prepared, and ready to fight the good fight in the best possible way. Not with violence, but with knowledge. And sometimes that requires us to stand up to people, things, and ideas that fly in the face of conventionality. That's okay. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Do not be afraid to be an advocate for those things that you know inherently are right. And sometimes the craziest ideas, the most profound change, happens because one person decided, I've had enough, and I'm going to stand up. That, ladies and gentlemen, is our first word, advocacy. All right, gotta get off my soapbox now and say good morning to Anthony. And it is a good morning, especially if you're a Tigers fan, Mr. A, because, well, we got some good news this morning.
Yeah, we got some really good news.
And what would that be?
We are back in first place.
Absolutely. Although we're sharing first place, we are still in first place, and I'll share it. No question about that. The Anibal Sanchez pitches a complete game, scoreless game last night. The Tigers win 2-0. I always get a little concerned when, you know, the bats are quiet, and they were last night. Miguel Cabrera didn't have a hit, but that's okay. He made the defensive play of the game. And, Anthony, I learned this morning, which I did not know, maybe you didn't know, that he used to play basketball. Did you know that?
Cabrera?
Yeah.
I did not.
When he was a young man, he played basketball. Yep, absolutely. So he jumped up and snagged a ball that was headed for the left field corner that would have surely been a double, scored at least one run because there were two men in base at the time. And sure enough, like the ice cream cone, half the ball in his mitt, half the ball sticking out of the top. But you know what? You only need to catch half of it, eh? As long as you get it, you get it.
Yeah, I actually did catch that play, and it was really great.
Well, it's just amazing.
Web gems for ESPN, actually.
I'm sure it will. Anyway, it was just it's a nice victory. Of course, the Tigers now. Listen, now everything's even. This is all in their hands. Can they expect? You know, the White Sox are 1-6 over the last seven games. Can they expect them to continue to be that in feudal? I doubt it. So, but they just need to continue to win. They control their own destiny. This isn't about what Chicago does at this point, especially now that we're even. It really is very much about what the Detroit Tigers do. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's a best of eight series now. Whoever can win the most out of these next eight games makes it. It's that simple.
All right. So we will continue to watch it. Now, both teams. And who is Chicago? They're playing Minnesota right now? No, the Yankees are playing Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody, we're all playing the division, though, right now.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is the Tigers do control their own destiny. And last night, again, Anibal Sanchez, who we traded for just a few months ago, certainly stepped up and got the job done. Again, a complete game shutout, and we'll take it every day of the week, no question about it. The ongoing, Anthony, the ongoing controversy with the NFL officials continues to fester this morning as the NFL kind of gave a half-assed explanation for what happened on Monday Night Football, and we're not going to recount all of that now, but there's a serious problem, and the NFL is not addressing it, and I guess they really can't, because then that would kind of force them to admit that they've been wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're both in a bind right now. They just need to make the deal done. I believe I read that they're going into talks again tonight, or was that maybe that might have been the NHL? But
no, I do believe it is the refs and the NFL, and you know I don't know. They need to start doing something more than they're doing, because it's not working on the field. It's not working off the field. The crazy thing is you really can't find out any information. Both sides are very tight-lipped over what this is all about at this point. Of course, it's going to be money, but we know that. But, you know, the NFL owners really need to look at the product on the field. The problem is money's guaranteed, so they're going to make money no matter what happens. And when that's the case, frankly, you're in the driver's seat. So we'll continue to watch that. And, no, the NHL have not scheduled any talks, and I just don't see that going anywhere anytime soon. So it is what it is. Let's take a quick break here. And get going. 888-552-3595 if there's something on your mind. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. We've got a Facebook poll question up. Can they finally close the deal on Belle Isle? We'll talk about that on the other side. Good Wednesday morning to you. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Mitt Romney's released only 1 year. To the McCain campaign, he released 23 years. And he's telling the American people, I'm not going to give you what I've given John McCain's people in 2008. And when he gave them 23 years, John McCain's people looked at it and said, let's go with Sarah Palin.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
So far, you have a trouble-free commute just following construction. 94 eastbound, the ramp to 275 northbound is closed through November 7th. 94 westbound, the ramp to the Southfield Freeway northbound is closed through Sunday at 11 p.m. And Claremont at the Lodge Freeway, that ramp to the southbound Lodge is closed starting at 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. today. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 66 and partly cloudy in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 67 and sunny. And it's currently foggy and 62 out. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020 Monday
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
All right, welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. Hope you are all doing really well today. I don't know. I'm just feeling optimistic. Don't question it. And, you know, sometimes it just comes your way. Sometimes it does. It just comes your way. All right. I'm going to get into some audio this early morning. But feel free to join us if you'd like. 888-552-3595. A story that appeared on Fox 2 yesterday kind of tells an interesting tale. And the tale that it tells is what happens when you don't send your kids to school. Well, in the city of Detroit, in the Detroit Public Schools, it means hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars lost. And there may be a solution, but is it a fair, equitable, and I don't know, enforceable solution? Let's listen to this audio. We'll come back and chat about this.
The state of Michigan is laying down some new rules when it comes to welfare.
If you're a parent of school-aged children, they better attend class regularly or you risk losing your benefits. Fox 2's Taryn Asher live in the newsroom tonight. Taryn, a lot of mixed reaction to this new law.
Definitely. Now, some of the people targeted by this new plan say it's just not that simple. There are a lot of reasons why kids can't make it to school, and taking away the entire family's state aid, they feel, is not the answer.
I think it's very unfair, and I think it's very stupid. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Ebony Boost, who has three children and is currently on welfare, just learned about the state's new policy that will take effect October 1st. If your child is truant, missing more than 10 days of school, your family's welfare cash benefits will be cut off.
Maybe they have household problems, their parents, there might be something going on in the home, but I think they just need to investigate that further.
The Michigan Department of Human Services keeping tabs on kids ages 6 to 15 years old who will now have to prove they attended school. Threatening to take away state aid is expected to make parents more responsible.
Our whole goal is that we're going to increase academic success for children. We're going to have higher graduation rates because the most important thing with this also is that we want to end generational poverty, and it starts by increasing our educational values.
Detroit Schools has one of the largest truancy rates in the state. Critics of the new crackdown don't see the connection.
It's not always as simple as saying, you're the mother, send them to school. If it was that simple, it would be done. We wouldn't even be at this stage of them talking about that. So it's not always that simple. You don't know what's going on inside a home unless you're there.
Maureen Taylor, head of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization, believes the plan unfairly targets low-income families, since they are not the only ones who aren't going to school.
What kind of plan is this? Let's punish everybody. Because this kid may have missed some days of school. Maybe we should find out why that kid missed school. I like motivation. But the motivation here is to take away breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
The policy change takes effect 2 days before Michigan's fall count day, when attendance is used to determine the funding a school district gets from the state. There are plenty in favor of the new plan, like Ryan Battle, who says there is no excuse why a parent shouldn't be sending their kid to school.
It matters. If you're not going to school, if you're not, doing what you're supposed to do with your kids, then how's the future going to work? You can't raise new presidents if you don't go to school.
Cheryl Thompson from DHS says the state does plan to work with families, and they can get their benefits back if the state gets verification that the student has been back in school for 21 consecutive calendar days. Huel?
But Taryn, there's got to be concern about mistakes that could be made, and what is considered an excusable absence?
Well, of course, there is a lot of concern, and then there's some concern that some cases could even slip through the cracks. Maureen Taylor, though, from the Michigan Welfare Rights, say they plan to fight this all the way, write letters, protests, demonstrations, anything that they need to do to let the governor know this plan is unacceptable.
And so where do I stand on this? Are you asking? Well, whether you're asking or not, you're going to find out now. I think it's extreme, and I think it's a starting point to a conversation and then ultimately a solution. Oftentimes with these things, we are given just two choices. And nothing is ever as simple as just, it's either this way or the highway, right? Nothing is that simple. The one mother who said, if it were as simple as just sending your kids to school, we would all do it. Well, that's not true. This isn't even specific to the city of Detroit, so I want to make that very clear. I am going to generalize here, but I think very safely generalize and say there are a lot of people that, for whatever reason, don't take their kids to school. Some of it is laziness, some of it is selfishness, some of it is quite legitimate, and everything within the gamut of possibility. So to create an umbrella policy that takes away somebody's right to survive seems to be a severe overreaction to what is admittedly a very serious problem. Why people don't send their kids to school, you have to ask them that question. You really do. You just have to ask them that question. If it's a matter of transportation, there always seems to be an option. If not, well, then you have to look at other alternatives. If it's a matter of it's too early for you, perhaps you work midnights or you don't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning and it's difficult for you because your kids are too young to get up and, well, tough. Been there, done that, survived it, got the t-shirt. We're going to explore this further. We're going to reach out to Maureen Taylor, who is the advocate that was mentioned in that Fox 2 piece, and get her on the show. Yes, we need a solution to this problem. Yes, we need to figure out, not just in Detroit, but everywhere in the state and around the country, when you have really habitual truancy, you do need to find out. The one woman said, you need to find out why they're not coming to school. Well, I don't think it's as simple as, again, we got to do some research on this. I don't think it's as simple as, well, they didn't show up so many days in a row, so bang, it's over. I'm sure there's an investigation that goes on. I'm sure that there are people that don't respond when the school reaches out. Lots of people no longer have landline telephones. Lots of people, especially as this piece demonstrated in low-income families, not only do they not have sometimes cell phones, they often change their phones because
they get disconnected, and then by the time they can get another one, it has to be a different number. Again, a whole menu of reasons why these things happen, and sometimes they are quite legitimate. I'm not here to judge that. Truly, I'm not. But we need young people in school. We need them to be taken care of. We need them to be safe. We need them to be educated. Now, that can't happen if they're not showing up to school to begin with. So what's the solution? Don't have it off the top of my head, but I do know this. This particular policy punishes an entire family, and we really don't know if it solves a problem or just creates a bigger one. And I'm going to suggest it's the latter as opposed to the former. With that said, let's have the discussion, let's find a solution, and let's move on. But to create just a yes or no, one or two choice, is really not an option. Not if you really have any kind of, I don't know, compassion for your fellow man. That's right, we have a Republican governor. We'll be back. Let's take a break here. 888-552-3595. President Obama speaks before the United Nations yesterday in what may be considered, when we look back, one of his greatest speeches ever. Let's take the break. You're listening to 1310 WGTW.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Your traffic is accident and trouble-free at this time. Just following some construction, 94 eastbound as you head to 275 northbound. That ramp is closed through November 7th. 94 westbound heading to the Southfield Freeway northbound. That ramp is closed through Sunday at 11 p.m. And your right lane is going to be closed for road construction starting at 9 a.m. That's on the Lodge southbound between Claremont and Pallister. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Monopoly is back at McDonald's with more fun than ever. Find game pieces on your faves like Big Mac and large fries. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 66 and partly cloudy in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 67 and sunny. And it's currently foggy and 62 out. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310. WDTW.
You can put earrings on a hog, but it won't hide the ugliness. A huge coal conglomerate learned this lesson the hard way in Eastern Kentucky's 6th Congressional District, represented by Democrat Ben Chandler. In mid-September, a TV ad suddenly appeared featuring a coal miner denouncing Chandler on behalf of the Republican lawyer running against him. The miner was decked out in bib overalls, T-shirt, and a hard hat. But the outfit was nothing more than earrings on a hog. This miner didn't have a speck of coal dust on him, had soft hands and an unlined face, and looked like a guy who'd be more comfortable in a suit. In fact, Heath Lovell is a suit, a coal company executive and Republican campaign funder from corporate headquarters in western Kentucky. Yes, they couldn't even get a boss man from the district to wear the garb and do the dirty deed, instead importing Lovell. You have a pencil pusher acting like a coal miner. Who did a union representative for real coal miners? In fact, the United Mine Workers have endorsed Democrat Chandler, particularly because of his stand for stronger mine safety rules, something the company has fought. In the ad, Lovell poses as a local and, standing along an empty train track, declares that Democrats in Washington are killing us. Us? He's an outsider who can't even vote there. He adds that Chandler and Barack Obama, quote, are putting the coal industry out of business. Yet his corporation pocketed some $300 million in profits last year. Later, he couldn't even remember the name of the small town where his political stunt was filmed. But he is said to be tight with Karl Rove and Mitt Romney, two other guys who are happy to compromise miner safety for mine company profits. This is Jim Hightower saying, these honchos seem to think that their hoaxes are a plus for them. But then, Every hog thinks it's good looking.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome back to this Wednesday morning First Shift program. Thanks for punching in this morning. Anthony, I've got a trivia question for you before we continue. You ready? Trivia question for Anthony. You there? You ready?
Yeah, turn on the wrong lights.
All right. Well, that would help. All right. Here's the question. A Detroit businessman purchased the rights to the Victoria Cougars on September 25th, 1926. The team moved to Detroit and later became known as who? As who?
Repeat the question.
A Detroit businessman purchased the rights to the Victoria Cougars on September 25th, 1926. The team moved to Detroit and later became known as who?
The Pistons? I don't...
Nope. Nope.
Do you want me to keep guessing?
Well, I'll give you one more guess.
All right. Well, it's, I don't think it's the Tigers, so I'm going with the Lions.
It's the Red Wings.
Oh, weird.
It's the Red Wings, yes. They were at one time the Victoria Cougars. Victoria, British Columbia, of course, and that's that. So just thought I'd share that. You know, I get this, like, this day in Michigan history every day, and 99% of the time it's like, huh? You know, and so, but that one actually was a little more fun. Before we talk about President Obama's speech to the U.N., on this side of the state, wasn't as big a news as it was on the west side of the state, but a jury has found that Rep. Bob Jonetsky, they found him guilty yesterday of driving drunk earlier this year in East Lansing. He's from Saugatuck. Despite defense arguments that the tests were conducted improperly, the jury apparently agreed with the prosecution that Representative Jonetsky's blood alcohol level was above the legal limit. His attorney, Mike Nichols, had argued that the Department of State Police Lab had not properly reported its test to Representative Jonetsky's blood, and that the results actually showed it was more likely he was not intoxicated. But the jury appeared to have accepted Assistant Prosecutor Russell Church's argument that the lab's report had accounted for the concerns raised by defense experts in saying that Mr. Jonetsky had a 0.08% blood alcohol content. And what does this mean ultimately? Well, it probably means that Rep. Jonetsky, first of all, is going to be sentenced, and he can get up to a $500 fine and 93 days in jail. I doubt that he will get the 93 days in jail. What it does to his seat, I don't know. I don't know if he gets censured or anything like that, but he was found guilty in spite of strenuous objections. I always like when they strenuously object, because objecting is not enough. You need to do it strenuously. To the Michigan State Police lab results. Needless to say, the Michigan State Police came out with a statement yesterday very pleased with the outcome of that jury trial. Dude, you were drinking and driving. That's the bottom line. Man, oh man, more than ever, I am so anal about getting behind the wheel of a car. If I've had more than two alcoholic beverages, I don't drive, period. I wait hours, I'll stop drinking. Just can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't want to. I think that'd be not good. I got to be careful here. I just hope I never, ever am stupid enough to ever get behind the wheel of a car intoxicated ever again. Listen, many of us have done it. Let's just be honest about it. It's been years and years and years since I've been that stupid, and is stupid. No question about that. Folks, if you really feel like you are impervious to the effects of alcohol, and no matter how much you have, you can still control your car, you've got a problem. That's all I'm going to say. All right. President Obama gave a speech to the United Nations yesterday, as I said before the break, may be remembered as one of his most important and profound speeches of his presidency. He spoke to the international community in a very passionate and a very forceful way. We start with a clip where President Obama condemns the anti-profit video. Great, great audio. Let's listen.
It's a crude and disgusting video. It sparked outrage throughout the Muslim world. Now, I have made it clear that the United States government had nothing to do with this video. And I believe its message must be rejected by all who respect our common humanity. It is an insult not only to Muslims, but to America as well. For as the city outside these walls makes clear, we are a country that has welcomed people of every race and every faith. We are home to Muslims who worship across our country. We not only respect the freedom of religion, we have laws that protect individuals from being harmed because of how they look or what they believe. We understand why people take offense to this video because millions of our citizens are among them. I know there are some who ask, why don't we just ban such a video? And the answer is enshrined in our law. Our Constitution protects the right to practice free speech. Here in the United States, countless publications provoke offense. Like me, the majority of Americans are Christian, and yet we do not ban blasphemy against our most sacred beliefs. As president of our country and commander-in-chief of our military, I accept that people are going to call me awful things every day. And I will always defend their right to do so. Americans have fought and died around the globe to protect the right of all people to express their views, even views that we profoundly disagree with. We do not do so because we support hateful speech, but because our founders understood that without such protections, the capacity of each individual to express their own views and practice their own faith may be threatened. We do so because in a diverse society, efforts to restrict speech can quickly become a tool to silence critics and oppress minorities.
All right. Well, you know, again, just so beautifully said. Just so beautifully said. The First Amendment, the right to free speech, is something that we do need to protect no matter what is being said. When we start making exceptions is when democracy starts failing. There is nothing easy about democracy. Nothing easy about democracy, especially if you've never had it and now you do. It gives people a false sense of freedom, but at the same time does make them free. What do I mean by false sense? Well, there are still responsibilities. There are still repercussions. In this next clip, President Obama speaks on Syria and the important and dangerous task ahead there. This is what he had to say to the United Nations yesterday.
In Syria, the future must not belong to a dictator who massacres his people. If there is a cause that cries out for protest in the world today, peaceful protest, it is a regime that tortures children and shoots rockets at apartment buildings. And we must remain engaged to assure that what began with citizens demanding their rights does not end in a cycle of sectarian violence. Together we must stand with those Syrians who believe in a different vision, a Syria that is united and inclusive, where children don't need to fear their own government, and all Syrians have a say in how they're governed, Sunnis and Alawites, Kurds and Christians. That's what America stands for. That is the outcome that we will work for, with sanctions and consequences for those who persecute, and assistance and support for those who work for this common good. Because we believe that the Syrians who embrace this vision will have the strength and the legitimacy to lead.
And that is, you know, again, democracy in its purest form. We're going to get to more of the audio after the break. The speech really was remarkable. If you have a chance, Google it and read it. Or you can watch, I'm sure there's a YouTube video of it somewhere. But it really is extraordinary. It's exceptional conversation because the president held nothing back. What I liked about it more than anything is it doesn't even approach, not even on the fringes of being a campaign speech. This was not about making himself, quote unquote, look presidential. This was not about him sending a message to voters or Republicans. This was truly about a remarkable leader who understands his responsibility in the world and wanted to make it very clear that the ideas and tenets on which our country were founded, which are often welcomed in other parts of the world, that it be understood that not only will America support and be your partner in that journey for democracy, but that you also need to understand that as imperfect as democracy is, it sure as hell beats the alternative, does it not? You know, there's that old cliche about our justice system being broken, but it's still the best justice system in the world. There is no, you know, going back to the segment we talked about, the, you know, punishing parents for not sending their kids to school. There are rarely perfect solutions to any problem. Perfect in the way that everybody gets what they want. There is right and wrong, but right and wrong is not always so clearly divided by a black line that it's easy to see the difference between the two. And as we have found out, as we work through our adult lives, oftentimes people tend to own something as being their truth, not being able to see the forest for the trees. Let's take a quick break here. A little more of the president's speech to the United Nations yesterday in New York City. It was really very, very stirring, passionate, and deliberate. And then feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break here. One more segment before we get to the top of the hour. This is First Shift. Stay with us. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because
they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, listening to that commercial in the break from the Supreme Court candidates. What an extraordinary day yesterday was. I'll talk about that a little bit more later on. Back to President Obama's speech at the United Nations yesterday in New York City. His next comments came on Iran. Iran, of course, is a serious problem and issue, not only for this country, but many others. They continue to be the stick that stirs the trouble in the Middle East. This is what President Obama said in regard to Iran.
The Iranian people have a remarkable and ancient history. And many Iranians wish to enjoy peace and prosperity alongside their neighbors. But just as it restricts the rights of its own people, the Iranian government continues to prop up a dictator in Damascus and supports terrorist groups abroad. Time and again, it has failed to take the opportunity to demonstrate that its nuclear program is peaceful and to meet its obligations to the United Nations. So let me be clear. America wants to resolve this issue through diplomacy, and we believe that there is still time and space to do so. But that time is not unlimited. We respect the right of nations to access peaceful nuclear power. But one of the purposes of the United Nations is to see that we harness that power for peace. And make no mistake, a nuclear-armed Iran is not a challenge that can be contained. It would threaten the elimination of Israel, the security of Gulf nations, and the stability of the global economy. It risks triggering a nuclear arms race in the region and the unraveling of the non-proliferation treaty. That's why a coalition of countries is holding the Iranian government accountable. And that's why the United States will do what we must to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. We know from painful experience that the path to security and prosperity does not lie outside the boundaries of international law and respect for human rights. That's why this institution was established, from the rubble of conflict. That is why liberty triumphed over tyranny in the Cold War. And that is the lesson of the last two decades as well. History shows that peace and progress come to those who make the right choices.
And it is about choices, and isn't it always about choices? Let's just go to the last piece of audio the President delivered, President Obama delivered to the UN yesterday, talking about divisive politics. Really a profound couple minutes. Let's listen.
The United States has not and will not seek to dictate the outcome of democratic transitions abroad. We do not expect other nations to agree with us on every issue. Nor do we assume that the violence of the past weeks or the hateful speech by some individuals represent the views of the overwhelming majority of Muslims, any more than the views of the people who produced this video represents those of Americans. However, I do believe that it is the obligation of all leaders in all countries to speak out forcefully against violence and extremism. It is time to marginalize those who, even when not directly resorting to violence, use hatred of America or the West or Israel as the central organizing principle of politics. For that only gives cover and sometimes makes an excuse for those who do resort to violence. That brand of politics, one that pits East against West and South against North, Muslims against Christians and Hindu and Jews. Can't deliver on the promise of freedom. To the youth, it offers only false hope. Burning an American flag does nothing to provide a child an education. Smashing apart a restaurant does not fill an empty stomach. Attacking an embassy won't create a single job. That brand of politics only makes it harder to achieve what together, educating our children and creating the opportunities that they deserve, protecting human rights and extending democracy's promise. Understand, America will never retreat from the world. We will bring justice to those who harm our citizens and our friends, and we will stand with our allies. We are willing to partner with countries around the world to deepen ties of trade and investment in science and technology, energy and development, all efforts that can spark economic growth for all our people and stabilize democratic change.
And stabilize democratic change. Anyway, it was a beautiful speech. I want to just, again, I'm glad I was able to share some of that with you. But please, if you have a chance, go check it out. It's well worth your time, and I think it will bring you comfort. All right, let's. We can't get out of here in this hour without doing a little Romney and Ryan. My good friend Ed Schultz from the Ed Schultz Show and the Ed Show on MSNBC talked last night about Romney and Ryan, who decided that they would weigh in on the NFL referee strike in their own way. Listen to what they said.
Welcome back to the Ed Show. Thanks for watching tonight. It's the blown football call the entire country is talking about. A mistake by the replacement officials, the final Hail Mary play on the game should have been ruled an interception by the Packers, resulting in a Green Bay win. The NFL released a statement today standing by the ruling on the field. NFL players are more than outraged over this bad call. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers told his radio audience today, the game is being tarnished by an NFL that obviously cares more about saving some money than having the integrity of the game diminished a little bit. This story has blown up so much politicians are getting in the act and taking jabs. Paul Ryan was so outraged he's ready to change his position on organized labor. How about that?
Did you guys watch that Packer game last night? I mean, give me a break. It is time to get the real refs. And you know what? It reminds me of President Obama and the economy. If you can't get it right, it's time to get out.
Mitt Romney also touched on the issue earlier today.
I'd sure like to see some experienced referees with NFL experience come back out of the NFL playing fields.
Paul Ryan called those refs out today. Are you glad that he did that?
That's just fine. Paul was very angry that the Green Bay Packers, he believes, won, and the referees took it away from them.
Push this button and I'll laugh. He has no clue. Ryan isn't the only angry Wisconsin politician. How about this one? Union-busting Governor Scott Walker tweeted out, after catching a few hours of sleep, the Packer game still just as painful. Return the real refs? Walker and Ryan, aren't they for busting unions until it affects the outcome of their football team? This is truly unbelievable, their reversal on this.
Well, let it speak for itself. Thanks, Ed Schultz. Appreciate that very much. We're going to take a quick break for the top of the hour. NBC News is coming straight up. When we come back, Dawood Waleed from CARE will be joining us to talk about this very sad case out of Flint, Michigan, and what perhaps we can all do to help this family. Prayer would be a good start. All right. Great hour of radio coming up. One just behind us. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Your traffic is accident and trouble-free at this time. Just following some construction, 94 eastbound as you head to 275 northbound. That ramp is closed through November 7th. 94 westbound heading to the Southfield Freeway northbound. That ramp is closed through Sunday at 11. And your right lane is going to be closed for road construction starting at 9 a.m. That's on the Lodge southbound between Claremont and Palliser. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 66 and partly cloudy in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 67 and sunny. And it's currently foggy and 62 out. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Battleground Ohio. Both presidential candidates hit the Buckeye State today amid polls that show Mitt Romney has some catching up to do. NBC's Tracy Potts.
Fresh off his speech at the United Nations, President Obama heads to Ohio today with an 8-point lead, according to the Washington Post. Mitt Romney's there today, too, talking jobs and taxes.
A new AP poll shows most Americans do not believe President Obama's health care law will be repealed. 70% predict it will go fully into effect with minor changes. Challenging times for airline passengers. A government report says flyers can expect fewer carriers to choose from, fewer flights to smaller cities, and more fees, from boarding charges to bag fees. The study cites high fuel costs and the weak economy as major factors. And are Americans too fat to fight? A group of retired military leaders is raising red flags about childhood obesity and the problem of finding qualified recruits. They're calling on schools to stop serving up junk food. This is NBC News Radio. A controversial call in Monday night's Packers-Seahawks game is fueling outrage over the NFL's replacement referees. And sorry, Packers fans, but just yesterday, a league review let the call stand. NBC's Jay Gray.
A written explanation points out offensive pass interference should have been called before it ever happened, but then goes on to say in part, the NFL, quote, supports the decision not to overturn the on-field ruling.
Meantime, the locked-out officials still at loggerheads with NFL owners over pay and pensions. The stormy Middle East in full focus at the UN today as Egypt's new Islamist president, Mohamed Morsi, outlines plans to lift his nation out of crippling poverty. Iran's controversial president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, also on deck today. And the drought of 2012 is branching out. We know that it's decimating crops and livestock, but it's also taking a terrible toll on trees. An updated survey in Texas alone finds more than 300 million trees have died because of bone-dry weather. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Vote in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Dream Car Election and you could win $50,000, $1,000, or one of many instant win prizes being given away through November 6th. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. No purchase necessary. See O'ReillyAuto.com for official rules and full details. We're O'Reilly Auto Parts and we approve this message.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Apple introduced the very first iPhone in 2007. The economic meltdown hit in 2008. And although Americans cut back on spending for most things, we never cut back on spending for phones. The Labor Department reports that from 07 to 2011, households aggressively cut back spending on apparel, entertainment, restaurants, and vehicles, but increased spending on cell phone plans. In fact, phone-related spending jumped more than 4% last year, biggest increase since 2005. Remember the term sunblock? That's how Coppertone used to refer to its sunscreens in advertising and labeling. It also described them as waterproof, sweatproof, and offering all-day protection. A class action lawsuit has argued all those claims exaggerated the effectiveness of Coppertone products. Now Coppertone parent Merck has agreed to pay between $3 and $10 million to settle the suit, and it now uses terms such as water-resistant and stays on strong when you sweat. S&P futures down a point. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X86 servers and a midsize company.
One company makes these, and another these.
Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Nerelman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Nerelman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 26, 2012 program. Thanks for punching in this morning. Before I get to my next guest, literally 3 minutes ago, I got an email from one of our listeners, Patty, who is just a gift. Patty is a gift to me. I met her well over a year ago. She listens to the show every morning, and she shared with me that her husband passed away last night at 8:05 p.m. Patty, my love, thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. Her husband had been sick a long time, and sometimes it's relief, but it's never easy. And I just wanted you to know, Patty, that I'm thinking of you this morning, and I'd like to dedicate today's program to you and your family. Sorry that you've had to endure all this. With that said, we've got a great hour of radio coming up. Many of you are familiar. You've seen the story on the news. You've read it in the papers of Amir Hekmati, who is a 29-year-old former U.S. Marine. He has been in prison in Iran since August of 2011 when he was accused of working for the CIA, which, of course, his family and the U.S. government say is absolutely false. The U.S. State Department is urging the Iranian government to release Amir, but they are ignoring those pleas. To compound this even further, his father, Ali Hekmati, is quite ill. By all accounts, he is an amazing and gifted professor. He is a wonderful and loving father and husband, and all he wants is to hold his son one more time. Will that happen? Well, joining me now from the Council on American-Islamic Relations, or CARE, is my friend and friend of First Shift, their executive director, Dawood Waleed. Dawood, I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure being on, Tony.
My friend, what a horrific circumstance. Literally, you know, everything I've read about this family is that they are just the most loving, caring group of people you'd ever want to meet. This young man, former U.S. Marine, travels to Iran to visit with his grandmother and disappears. They don't know where he's at for months on end. They find out that he was coerced into giving a confession, which is not true. And here we are many, many months later. A very sick father lies in a hospital bed, literally hugging himself and envisioning that he's holding his son. I mean, that breaks my heart, Dawood.
This case is tragic on so many levels. One thing that hasn't been reported widely in the media is that Amir, being a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, thought that if he entered Iran without letting the authorities know, that, you know, perhaps they could have had some information about his prior service in the military and had some suspicion about him. So what he did was he contacted the Iranian consulate in Iran. I mean, he contacted the Iranian consulate here in the United States of America that's in New York, told him about his plans of going to visit family, how long he was going to be there. And the Iranian government told him no problem. They gave him the go-ahead. And as soon as he gets to Iran to visit family, then the Iranians turn around and pick them up, which is really a really dirty thing to have been done.
Well, it's just heartbreaking. Of course, you have been working nonstop around the clock to help this family. And, in fact, you hope to get to Ahmadinejad today at some point. He is, of course, in the United States at the United Nations. He is to speak today at the UN. What's the plan, and what is the chance for success here?
Well, we're trying to hold out hope. You know, what complicates matters so much is the current miserable state of relations between our country and the Iranian government. And, in fact, I can't think of a time where relations have been worse between our two countries since our embassy was taken over in 1979. But we've sent out signals in the media to the Iranian government. I actually have the contact information to the Iranian consulate, which I plan on making a call to the ambassador Khazai, which I met last November. I flew to New York to discuss this particular case with some Iranian government officials last November, and we're hoping that this work will be passed on to the president of Iran, that he may intervene. We're not even completely sure that the Iranian president even knows about this case or has all the facts, and I'm not sure if everyone can fully appreciate, or not appreciate, but understand the different layers of bureaucracy, even within our government. And in the Iranian government, there is less transparency and less sharing of information in their governmental system than in ours. So there's a chance that maybe he doesn't even maybe it's a chance he's not even fully aware of the situation. So that's why we want to, you know, raise public attention.
Well, you know, Dawood Walid, I understand that the U.S. State Department, you know, has urged the Iranian government to release Amir Hekmati, and I appreciate that, but I don't know to what level they've done that. Has it just been a statement to the media? Has it been through some kind of diplomatic effort? Is it just lip service is what I'm saying?
Well, they've released statements, but there's not much the U.S. State Department can do simply because there are no official diplomatic relations between our country and Iran. There's no direct communication. So what the U.S. State Department has done is work with our counterparts in Switzerland to basically send communication to the Iranian government through Switzerland. So it's been a very tedious process. There hasn't been much reply to the Swiss in regards to some of the concerns raised by the State Department. But then, you know, the Iranian government has also raised concerns with us, and I think this is why we as Americans, we have to always be the moral authorities, the moral authority on issues, and that we need to be spiffy clean, because what the Iranian government shot back was that, well, you know, you're calling for due process for Amir, but there have been Iranians that have been held in Guantanamo Bay for the past decade, and none of them have received any trials. So basically, you know, how can the American government call out the Iranian government, is what the Iranians are saying on this one particular case where there's several Iranians that have been held without due process in Guantanamo Bay. So that also complicates matters regarding Amir's case.
Is it a fair criticism? Are there several Iranians being held at Guantanamo Bay for without due process?
That is a fair assessment. There are still people in Guantanamo Bay. It hasn't been closed. The president, he promised transparent trials in civilian court, and then through pressure from the Republicans, the president had to backtrack some. And there are dozens of people in Guantanamo Bay who've been held, indefinitely, including some Iranians who haven't received any type of due process. So the Iranians, in this sense, they do have a fair criticism. However, I would say to the Iranians that two wrongs don't make a right.
No, that is true. I don't care what your politics are. You're right. That math never does. That math never will work. You know, Dawood, we'll come back to this in just a moment from a political standpoint. But let me ask you about Ali Hekmati and how he is doing. Is he? I realize emotionally this is difficult. How is he doing physically?
Well, he's had some serious health problems, and a tumor was found on his brain. And was taken out, and I'm not even sure as of yet. I need to talk with the family today to see if there was anything cancerous in that tumor or not. But really, the family doesn't know, and Ali, he doesn't really know how much longer he has left. And you know, as you said, opening up the segment, this is really what adds another layer of tragedy on this issue. And Amir, who's in Iran, you know, the family has had zero contact with him since about March. So Amir is languishing in that jail in Iran, and he has no clue about his father's health condition. It's just so sad and tragic.
Now, maybe there's some blessing to that, that he does not know. I get the impression that this is a very close family, and just by reading the newspaper accounts, and so I can't even imagine the torture that Amir is already going through just being there, being away from his family, being away from people that he loves, let alone to find out, Dawood, that his father is ill and perhaps near death.
Yeah, I'm sure that he's, suffering right now, and perhaps that news might be an added layer of torture. But besides the actual physical torture that his family believes that he's suffered in the Evin prison in Iran.
Now, I don't question that there's some truth to that. In fact, in one of the newspaper accounts, when they saw pictures of him, they estimated that he had lost upwards of 40 pounds. He's not that big a guy to begin with. Somebody that size losing 40 pounds is close to tragic in and of itself.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he looks emaciated because, as you said, he wasn't a very big guy to begin with. I mean, he wasn't even 200 pounds.
Right.
So for him, to have lost 40 pounds, he must be in terrible health condition right now.
Dawood, stay with us. We've got to take a break. I want to talk with you some more about this. Dawood Waleed is the executive director of CARE, which is the Council on American-Islamic Relations. We'll be back. We've got to get to the break, but we'll be back right after this. Stay with us. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
With Tony
I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do, so whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes. It's about people.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we just picked up our first problem of the morning. M5 eastbound to 9 Mile, there's an accident on that exit ramp. And we just got slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. More slow traffic on 75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile. And slow moving on 96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 66 and partly cloudy in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 67 and sunny. And it's currently foggy and 62 out. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First shift on 1310 WDTW
with Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. My guest is Dawood Waleed. He is the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relationship or Relations, also known as CARE. Dawood, this is not the first time you have worked with the Iranian government for those falsely imprisoned in Iran. Does that give you an advantage at some level?
I think it does, and also that we're now part of the United States government and that we're an NGO. A few years ago, there was an Iranian-American journalist by the name of Rakhsana Sabri who was detained by the Iranians. And we communicate with the Iranian government along with her family attorney, and eventually Rakhsana was able to get out. She was charged also with espionage, with spying for supposedly having some classified documents. Then we worked last year, and actually two of our officials, our national president and our national executive director, flew to Iran and helped negotiate the release of some U.S. hikers who had been hiking near the Iranian border, and the Iranians claimed that they had crossed over into Iranian land and also accused them of espionage. So they actually, the anniversary of those hikers getting home was actually last week was 1 year. 1 year last week was the anniversary for that. So, you know, as I said in the media yesterday, you know, they know us. We know them. We have some connections. We've been successful before in getting American citizens back home. And we're hopeful that Amir will be another case in which we're successful.
In fact, you have offered to the Iranian officials your assistance in going to Iran, and if they are willing to turn Amir over to you, that you will gladly go get him.
Yes, yes, I will. I've offered that to fly to Iran. I also had a conversation a few months ago with our friend Reverend Jesse Jackson, and he said that he's also willing to go to Iran if need be to bring Amir home. And Reverend Jackson was just successful in getting some Americans released from death row, from execution in the country of Gambia just within the past week. So I mean, we're working different channels, and we're hoping that the Iranians will, you know, will seriously consider our offer.
You know, Doug, there's obviously a pattern here. You know, Americans get caught for whatever reason within the Iranian border. Although with the hikers, we're not even sure they were on Iranian land. But that being said, the pattern is always a charge of espionage under duress. A confession. What did they hope to establish or prove by doing? I'm talking about the Iranians by doing this.
Well, I think it's motivated by political reality that they are under, and it's a level of paranoia. Now, I say this because I keep up with international politics very closely, and I don't think that the Iranian government are angels, nor do I think that they're devils. And, you know, the Iranian government has, in a sense, some reason to be paranoid, because we've been working actively for decades for regime change. The Israelis have used spies in there and have assassinated civilian scientists that have been, you know, working on their nuclear program, which we're not totally sure if they're developing a weapon or if it's for peaceful means, as they said. And our State Department just delisted an organization called its acronym is MEK, but it's known as Mujahideen al-Khalq, just delisted it from a terrorist organization list. And this group has been behind suicide bombings and killing of Iranian officials, government officials, and killed civilians. So, you know, if I'm an Iranian in the Iranian government, perhaps I'd be a little paranoid too. If, and just to put a little context to, if I can flip the script, just imagine if a nation delists Al-Qaeda as a terrorist organization, and then has lobbyists of Al-Qaeda coming to their to their government, talking to them, you know. But then I think that our nation would be a little paranoid about the actions of people from that nation or government officials. So I'm not saying that what the Iranian government is doing is right, but they are a regime that that people have been nations have been actively trying to institute regime change, and they have a high level of paranoia.
And I think that at some level I understand that, you know, also, and yes, I'm about to say this, folks, so just get over it. The United States also are not angels. They're also not devils, but they're not angels as well. And listen, if history's taught us anything, we can be as ruthless as the next guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our hands aren't clean either, but, you know, again, as I said before, you know, the Iranian government, and this is why I appeal to them from a religious perspective, not simply a political perspective. They claim to be, and they say they are the quote-unquote Islamic Republic of Iran. Well, if they're the Islamic Republic of Iran, then they should be practicing what Prophet Muhammad practiced. And I mentioned this in the letter to the Supreme Leader, that Prophet Muhammad said that it's better for the leader to err in pardoning than to err in punishing. And if there's no solid proof under the Islamic law that he should be let go and mercy should be shown, but if so, he needs to be given a fair, transparent trial in which he can face the evidence that he's been accused of regarding the crime. And Amir has been sitting in that prison since January, since his death penalty sentence was overturned. He hasn't been given a trial date. He's had no access to not only family but also to legal counsel. So there's nothing. I mean, we can put international law to the side. There's nothing Islamic about that. There's nothing spiritual about that. And they claim to be this high spiritual Islamic nation. Well, you know, they need to be there needs to be some pushback on that. And really, the West can't do it. The United States government can't do it. The only ones who can make that appeal to them are our fellow Muslims.
Well, and certainly CARE steps up into that. Unfortunately, we are out of time, Dawood Waleed, but I've got to tell you that we're going to continue to follow this. You know, you're welcome on the show anytime. If there's anything that we can do, of course, to support your efforts in this and anything that you do at CARE, you know that we are happy to do that. My prayers are with you and the family, certainly with Amir and Ali, and I just I want good news here. As a father and as a son, I understand this. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Tony.
Dawood Waleed, once again, the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations. When we continue, are you part of the 47%? What does that mean? Let's tell some stories. We're going to get to that on the other side. Stay with us on First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and you are accident-free at this time. Just following slow traffic on 275 northbound between Michigan Avenue and Ann Arbor Road. Same for 94 eastbound between 96 and Linwood. 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Whittier. They're tapping their brakes, and it's slow moving on 96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 66 and partly cloudy in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 67 and sunny. And it's currently foggy and 62 out. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Bainport bus tour stopped in Janesville and Milwaukee, Wisconsin Tuesday. The workers losing their jobs to China thanks to Mitt Romney's Bain capital have set up a Bainport camp outside the Sensata plant in Freeport, Illinois, and are calling on Mitt Romney to come to the camp and try to help them save their jobs. Dot Turner says the Bainport bus tour is warning America about what a Romney economy would do to American workers.
We need to stand up like we're doing now all over this country and fight for our jobs, for them sending them overseas. If Mitt Romney is made president, he'll sell this country off just like he does with Bain Capital, piece by piece.
Turner says Bainport workers are inviting everyone to a pig roast at the camp.
And we would like for all of you to come out and support us to roast this pig, because this is the way we plan to roast the CEOs that want to destroy our lives.
A group representing emergency room doctors has sharply rebuked comments by the Republican presidential nominee that emergency rooms provide care for the uninsured. Jesse Russell reports.
Mitt Romney made the comment during a 60 Minutes interview.
We do provide care for people who don't have insurance. If someone has a heart attack, they don't sit in their apartment and die. We pick them up in an ambulance and take them to the hospital and give them care.
The American College of Emergency Physicians responded with a statement suggesting that if emergency rooms were to see an increase in uninsured using them, it would make the entire emergency room system unmanageable. The organization's president, David Seberg, said in the statement, "Emergency departments have become a healthcare safety net for everyone, but the safety net is breaking." The organization said only 8% of those who use emergency rooms are uninsured. According to the Arizona Daily Star, when Governor Jan Brewer made cuts to the Arizona Medicaid program, hospitals in that state protested. Those hospitals argued that the more uninsured that use the emergency rooms for illnesses that could have been treated earlier, the higher the cost would be to the insured.
Teamsters President Jim Hoffa says the political battle this year is looking to him like a full-on culture war as the Tea Party attempts to turn America hard to the right.
The right wing believes and knows that labor is the backbone of the Democratic Party, the backbone of the progressive movement, and they're taking us on because they realize if they can knock out labor, if they can knock out public employees, if they can knock out organized labor with national right to work, that they can basically turn this country around. They'll have a free run on November 6th. You know, this is coming down to almost a cultural choice. This is more than Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us, love us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Once again, my appreciation to Dawood Waleed, the executive director of CARE. Just a tragic story. Our song of the day is up. And by the way, if you have a suggestion or comment, Joe is responsible for song of the day. Send him an email, joe@thetonyshow.org, and have that dialogue with him. Today's song of the day is Faith No More's cover of the Black Sabbath song War Pigs. You want to know why? Well, go to the First Shift Facebook page and read why. That's what it's there for. And if you've been there and not liked us, feel free to do that. We're at 1,191 likes as of this morning, and we're looking for that 1,200th. So just 9 more to go. Of course, our next goal is 1,310 likes. That's right, 1,310. Get it? And if I got to explain it to you, then we got issues. So anyway, welcome back. You know, it's interesting. Ever since the secret Romney tapes were revealed, where he said that he didn't need to worry about the 47%, and we'll remember on CNN he said a number of months ago, you know, I don't need to worry about the poor. They're taken care of. I don't need to worry about the rich. So there's a pattern of behavior here. Now, listen, I said earlier in the show, and I'll reiterate it one more time, I would think most of us are part of the 47%, although I certainly pay my share of federal taxes and state taxes and sales taxes and property taxes and, oh, taxes, taxes, taxes. Here a tax, there a tax, everywhere a tax, tax. So, yes. Everybody pays some form of taxes, but Mitt was picking on those that don't pay federal tax. Well, who are these people? I think they look a lot like you and I. Some of them have a compelling story. Some of them don't, but it doesn't matter. Chances are, if you are part of that 70 or 47%, well, you know what? You would rather not be. With that said, MoveOn.org gave people an opportunity to submit some reasons and some rationale behind the 47%. This is what they had to say.
I grew my first business to $12 million, 309 jobs. We now have a restaurant, $7 million, 134 jobs. This year, we added a Minneapolis bakery, 17 more jobs. We've paid millions in taxes. Moochers? I don't think so. Let's be frank. That hidden video proves Romney's secret disdain for the military, seniors, kids, and even you folks thinking of voting for him. You still thinking of voting for Romney, even now?
Due to circumstances beyond my control, I was born with a physical disability. I was born without arms. And yes, I am dependent on the government for food housing, and medical care. But again, these are circumstances that are beyond my control. It's not something that I'm proud of, but it's something that can't be helped. And for me to be included in the 47% that you feel is leeching off the government, I feel is wrong.
Mitt, the wife and I live a very modest lifestyle in our little California bungalow. I drive a 14-year-old car. She drives a 5-year-old car, neither of which have known the luxury of riding an elevator. Entitlements? Giveaways? No, we don't look at it that way. We paid into Medicare and Social Security for 30-some years. We look at it as a return on investment. Of course, maybe you'd see it differently with your calculating eye.
I'm Julia. I immigrated to this country with my parents as a Soviet refugee to escape persecution. We all became proud U.S. citizens. Every year of my adult life, I've proudly paid income tax. Then, after a 10-year battle with kidney disease, I developed end-stage renal failure. With the help of Medicare, my friends, and my family, I am going to get better. I will proudly pay income tax again, even if not this year. I'm no victim, Mr. Romney. I'm a fighter, and I'm a voter.
My husband died in 2006. We were not living an extravagant lifestyle, and I have a good job as a teacher. But without the Social Security benefits my daughter qualifies for from his death, I might not be able to keep making her mortgage payments. I pay my taxes, I work hard to give my students a good quality education, and I try to be the best single parent I can be. I am not a victim. I am a voter.
That's right. I am not a victim. I am a voter. So the 47%, you know, let's stop and think about that. You know, maybe you received a free or reduced lunch for your children. That puts you in the 47%. If you are retired, you are in the 47%. If you have Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, you are in the 47%. If you are disabled, if you are a member of the military who do not pay federal taxes, you are part of the 47%. So my question to you, and I'll put the number out there, 888-552-3595. Are you part of the 47%? Would you like to share your story with us this morning? Maybe we'll send a copy of this to Mitt Romney. In fact, I think we will definitely send a copy of this half hour to the Romney campaign to remind him that, yes, when you are the president of the whole United States of America, there are people that actually benefit from the work of those who do pay taxes. Nobody is claiming that that claim is not true. But at some point in all our lives, we have paid in. And for that small, small, infinitesimal percent of people that have never paid federal income taxes, well, there's a profoundly good reason for it. What is it, Willard, you don't get about that? Why is it that you don't wake up in the morning and do what I do? And I've said this on the show many times. The us and the thems, which I'm, of course, no longer backing away from. You know, the us's say when they get up in the morning, what can I do to make the world a better place? The thems say, what can I do to make my world a better place? And there is a big difference between those two small words, the world and my world. Well, Willard, I know. You worked hard for the money. And you did. I don't question that. You took the risk. You were very successful. You've made millions upon millions of dollars. Now you make upwards of $20 million a year, and all you have to do is spend some money to make some money. I don't have that option. It's not the way my world works. But that's okay. I'm willing to get up every morning and do my job. And I think that if I'm fairly compensated for what I do, then I have something to be proud about. I am not the first one, nor will I be the last one, to talk about the dignity of work. All of us, no matter what it is you do, and I don't care how disgusting you might think a job is, there's somebody that enjoys doing that job, whether you can comprehend that or not. You know, you've often wondered, you can say, well, how the hell can you be a garbage man? Well, you know what? I've talked to garbage men that absolutely love their job. I mean, literally love it. That's okay. You know, all these jobs have to be done by someone. And then there comes a time where, through no fault of our own, for the most part, Something happens. All of a sudden, our income disappears. Or we're downsized. Or our salaries get slashed. And we need help. Isn't part of the reason government exists is to take care of its citizens? And remember what Barack Obama said to the United Nations last night in his speech. He did not say that government should be about handouts. What he said was the government should be working for the people, not the other way around. It seems to me the Republicans have kind of lost that. They don't really seem to understand that it is the government's responsibility to represent and work for the people. I'm not necessarily against smaller government. I'm just against smaller people in government. And I don't mean physically smaller people. I mean emotionally. I mean literally intelligence. Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of those folks are finding their way into politics. You see, there's a direct correlation between how much money you have and the likelihood of you being elected. Well, it didn't work for Dick DeVos. It is my prayer. It won't work for Mitt Romney. It's my prayer. But this is politics, and anything can happen. I get a little kind of heebie-jeebied on the polls as we see the president's numbers continuing to put distance between he and Willard. We're still 41 days out of an election, and in 41 days in politics, all kinds of wild swings can happen. If I would have told you 41 days ago that Barack Obama would be so comfortably ahead in many of the swing states, you would have laughed at that. Well, it's happening now. If I would have told you 41 days ago that the 20% lead that Willard Romney had shrink to 4%, you would have said not possible, but it is. 41 days ago, if I would have told you baby boomers who were solidly in Mitt Romney's corner are now solidly behind President Barack Obama, some of you would have laughed at me. Well, that was 41 days ago. 41 days later, all of those things that couldn't happen have. So 41 days from now, well, anything is possible. It's fairly critical that we keep our eye on the ball here, that we continue to get up and go to work, that we understand that in order to win this election, it's not just about us getting out to vote or making sure others do the same, which is register and get out to vote, but making sure that we exhaustively look at every avenue, travel every path, take every journey that we need to between now and November 6th to make sure that what little corner of sanity we have left in the political process, we control as much as possible. Politics is not perfect. Even Democrats are not perfect, but it sure gives us a better shot at sanity than the Republicans ever will. Give us a call, 888-552-3595. It's 47% Wednesday. Give us a call. We'll talk about it more on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive,
Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock, which means Stephen Henderson and Lori Lamoran in the next hour. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. Telling the tale of the 47%. You know, it seems to me that we look at what we have done in this country for corporations, oil companies, even the autos, what we have done for banks and financial institutions. No one seems to raise much of a fuss about that. You know, one of the biggest differences between the bank bailout and the automotive loans is the word bailout in loans. Although some, even on my side of the aisle, keep on calling what we did for the auto companies a bailout. It was not. It was very much a loan, and it will be always remembered by that in my world, but maybe that's just me. I don't think it's just me. But, you know, why is it that the Republicans don't get all hinky about the banks and what was done for insurance companies and financial institutions? Well, it's because that's their funders, their friends. You'll recall that in 2008, when the meltdown began, and going into 2009, especially January of 2010, just as the president was getting warmed up, corporate CEOs, bank presidents, were getting multi-million dollar bonuses. And how much of that money were U.S. taxpayer dollars? Where was the outrage from the right over that? Where is the outrage from the right over that? Well, we had to do it. Do you remember the phrase, too big to fail? Do you remember that? Well, is anything too big to fail? I mean, it's an interesting question. Do we really let the banks go under? Now, would they have is the question. What would happen if a bank closes? Well, we saw it happening throughout a five-year period, through much of a half of a decade. Financial institutions throughout the state and throughout the country did close. We have something called the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which, by the way, only protects your fortune up to $150,000 per account. Be mindful that that is still the law, and that's why I tell people to be mindful. If you've got more than that, split it up. Split it up. You don't have to deal with just one bank. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do? When are we going to start really seeing this stuff properly? Well, if we ever do. Let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Good morning, my friend.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm well this morning. Thank you.
Hey,
I think you better go back and do your homework on the TARP bailout. More Republicans voted against it, and more Democrats voted for it, the TARP bailout. That's just a fact. Go back and do your homework and take a look at it, and you'll see that.
Yeah, I know that. I'm not going to even deny that. Okay. You know, listen, if you didn't hear how I started if you didn't hear how I started this off, I said, you know what? The Democrats are not blameless in any of this. Listen, I don't love everything Democrats do, Steve. You should know that by now. When they need to be criticized, I'm first in line, buddy.
You do occasionally, but I mean, obviously, a lot more on the Republican side. When, you know, like you've said many a times to me, both parties are at fault. You know, but it seems like you are overwhelmingly, you know, bashing Republicans, and you're not given equal share of blame.
Well, there's not always equal share of blame to give out. I just report it the way I see it. I'm partisan. I don't hide my partisanship. There's nothing fair and balanced about this program. I've never had that, Steve.
Right, but I mean, there's something about being somewhat honest and truthful rather than just being a partisan too.
Well, and I am honest and truthful. When I see something wrong, I call it out. And in this case, yes, the Democrats were as complicit, and maybe more so than the Republicans were. But we have to remember, you know, like so many of the things that we've had to deal with. And you know, maybe we didn't have a choice. Let's think about that phrase I mentioned just a few minutes ago: too big to fail. Were some of these banks too big to fail? Steve, I think there's some legitimacy to that argument. Was that necessarily the best path to go down? I think that's where the debate comes in.
I have a problem with that too big to fail, too. I personally think they should have let the banks go under. I think eventually the market would have took care with smaller banks grabbing some of that market share, and I think it would have been some tough times, but I think we would have came out of it okay and probably better for it. If we would have just let the market take care of itself.
Well, that's,
you know,
when...
So I wasn't for the bank bailout.
That's Steve, that's where we go back to the other thing I say, which is follow the money. And I'll bet you that, again, Democrats and Republicans, we follow that money. We're going to see that a lot of these bank lobbyists and CEOs were given money to both sides, and they do it. In fact, I said this on the show the other day. If you didn't hear it, let me repeat it. In the 2008 election cycle, Barack Obama benefited from Wall Street more, and to that point in our history, more than any presidential candidate ever had with regard to donations. Till that point in history. In 2012, that table's been turned, and now Mitt Romney is reaping record benefits from Wall Street. So you go ahead and figure that out. As Wall Street is healthier than it's ever been, it's gained over $1 trillion since the president's taken office, and I could go on. It's just, you know, one of those cyclical things, and you and I both know wherever there's money, Steve, wherever there's big money, and I'll never comprehend this because I'll never have that kind of money, you literally can buy power, and that's what people do, and you and I both know it.
Sure, and it goes to both sides. So again, I mean, maybe we should be questioning both of these parties a lot more. You know, take our quote-unquote partisanship out of it and questioning both these parties. And you know, and that's how I look at it.
I don't disagree with a word of that. We need to hold everybody accountable for the decisions they make. It doesn't matter what that number in the parentheses or that letter in the parentheses is after their name, R, D, or I, or L. I don't care. You need to be held accountable. If you do something wrong, you need to account for it. If you do something right, then get patted on the back for it. I'm absolutely fine with that.
Well, we're in agreement, Tony. It's a good conversation. I appreciate it, and I will talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the call so much. Yes, hi, folks, yes, we should hold all folks accountable. Any of you that listen to Tom Hartman on a regular basis know that he has independent senator Bernie Sanders on his show every single Friday. I think they call it Brunch with Bernie or Lunch with Bernie, one of those. Anyway, one of the rare true independent political animals that have ever walked the face of this earth. Although Joe Lieberman says that he is an independent, he had to do that to win re-election. He is really much more of either a moderate Republican or a very conservative Democrat. It's kind of hard to believe that he was once a vice presidential nominee on the Democratic ticket with Al Gore, but he was. And he was a different person then. He was a different politician then. And that's okay. People have a right to change their mind. People have a right to do whatever they want to do. They just, again, need to be held accountable for it. And Whether they are or not, I guess, is entirely up to the electorate, which is what November 6th is all about, holding everybody accountable. Sometimes it's about holding your nose and doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Sometimes it's about having clear choices. This time, it absolutely is about the latter. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we return, my friend Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Lori Lamoran from Planned Parenthood of Mid-South Michigan, and it's today is Ask Lori, and we've got some questions for her. Everybody stay right where they're at. NBC News coming up at the top, and then we continue with First Shift. So don't punch out yet. We'll be back after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and you are accident-free at this time. Just following slow traffic on 275 northbound between Michigan Avenue and Ann Arbor Road. Same for 94 eastbound between 96 and Linwood. 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Whittier. They're tapping their brakes. And it's slow moving on 96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 66 and partly cloudy in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 67 and sunny. And it's currently foggy and 62 out. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. Crying foul over the replacement refs. Fans, players, and coaches are calling on the NFL to reach agreement with locked-out officials, warning that replacements are ruining America's favorite game. NBC's Ann Thompson.
There are reports that the two sides are talking, but there is still no settlement. In fact, the New York Times reports this morning that the owners are dug in and want no more compromise with the referees union.
Pay and pensions, the sticking points. Sign of the times, a sharp increase in the homeless population is prompting New York City to open at least 5 new homeless shelters by the end of the year. The stormy Mideast in focus at the UN today. Egypt's new Islamist president, Mohamed Morsi, addresses the General Assembly. And Einstein's brain, there's an app for that. While Albert Einstein's genius is not included, you can download a new app that includes detailed images of the great physicist's brain. Guaranteed to be mind-boggling. This is NBC News Radio. Ohio is the place for politics. Both presidential candidates hit the Buckeye State today amid polls that show Mitt Romney has some catching up to do. NBC's Chuck Todd.
A couple of new polls, by the way, out this morning in the New York Times just show you how much of an uphill battle it is for Mitt Romney. He trails by 10 points in the Times poll, and he trails in Florida by 9.
An Associated Press poll shows most Americans do not believe President Obama's health care law will be repealed. 70% predict it will go fully into effect with only a few changes. Those baggage fees add up. Stats show airline passengers paid $1.7 billion in bag fees the first half of the year. And Washington State is in the middle of a zombie bee invasion. That's bee as in honey bees, but scientists have dubbed them zombies because they have a parasite that causes them to fly at night and lurch around erratically until they die. And yes, residents are buzzing about them. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Vote in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Dream Car Election and you could win $50,000, $1,000, or one of many instant win prizes being given away through November 6th. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. No purchase necessary. See O'ReillyAuto.com for official rules and full details. We're O'Reilly Auto Parts and we approve this message.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you've ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared this Friday through Sunday. That's because this Friday through Sunday, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your own one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared. Get set in diamonds this Friday through Sunday for a reward worth up to $1,000 only at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
When the economy fell apart a few years ago, developers of shopping centers, especially strip malls, sidelined their projects. But now they're dusting off their old plans and moving forward. Wall Street Journal reports companies including Regency Centers, Weingarten Realty, and Brixmore are now reviving mothballed shopping center projects, mostly in the suburbs. The mess of the Facebook initial stock offering all the way back in May keeps dogging the company in more ways than just the still falling stock price. The Securities Class Action Clearinghouse reports that of the 53 class action lawsuit filings related to IPOs this year, 29 of them have Facebook as a defendant. Lower stock markets across the world today following the Tuesday lead of Wall Street's fall. We don't look quite so bad now. Ahead of the bell and shortly after that, the latest reading of new home sales. S&P futures are down just 3 points. NASDAQ futures losing 8. Dow futures off 19. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X x86 servers and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Neuroman, one of our years ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers, a Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
It's the same each time with Progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, if that is indeed the case. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 26, 2012. I appreciate you all punching in this morning. We are now in the third of our 4 hours, and it gets better as we go on. I, of course, always look forward to this time on Wednesdays as we have our conversation with the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press and the host of American Black Journal, Stephen Henderson. We'll get to that intro in just a moment. Remind you a little later on in this hour, Planned Parenthood's Lori Lamarand is with us today in our first Ask Lori segment. We asked you to submit questions in advance. Many of you did. We're going to ask her those questions. And I remind you, just a week from today, we'll be doing a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood on air, and we'll give you all those details as we work our way through the week. With that said, gentlemen, an introduction, please.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
Recall, in my mind, is for malfeasance in office. It's for the rare occasion when you have somebody who says, I will do X, and then does Y. And even then, I think it's got to be a very egregious instance of that to justify a recall.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift Voice of Reason.
The question becomes, how much of a serious discussion is this? How much of a productive discussion is this?
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now again this Wednesday is Stephen Henderson. Stephen, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well. You know, we just had a conversation in the last half hour about 41 days out. We're 41 days out, and I gave lots of example of 41 days ago. Who would have thought, right? We can look at what's happening now. We can see the trends, but this is politics, Stephen Henderson, and 41 days can literally be an eternity.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good long time. You still have three nationally televised debates scheduled in October, and of course, October is the stretch run for any campaign, any presidential campaign. And, if you think back, think of the things that have happened in October before. It's not called October Surprise for nothing. But at the same time, historically, when the race is as divided as this one is, and you're starting to see a gap that's widening, statistics tell us that we're getting closer to the point where it's just not going to be possible for things to change, or not very likely, at least.
And certainly, as we've seen, a two-week stretch for the Romney campaign that actually is now heading into a third week of trouble, as he makes a really inappropriate remark about, and I don't know if you saw this, about his wife's plane, and he just didn't understand why windows don't roll down on an airplane. And he sounded like he was awfully serious about it. But as you look, and as we go into a third week, there is something remarkable happening, and it's not happening necessarily with just the poll numbers and President Obama widening his lead in swing states. That's all well and good. But what we're seeing is that one time, and I would want to say even 8 months ago, there was some real concern among Democratic faithful that they wouldn't hold on to the U.S. Senate. Well, yeah. Today, that's just not even a possibility. Remotely, they will, it looks like at this point, unless something cataclysmic happens, they will hold on to control of the U.S. Senate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's... And that has to do not just with the national race, but some of the particular races here that Republicans at one time saw as opportunities, but have since turned into something of a disaster. And I think, at the top of that list is Missouri, where Todd Akin really stepped in it last month and has not been able to recover and probably won't. But then the country, even here in Michigan, this was supposed to be an opportunity. Debbie Stabenow's numbers have never been that great for an incumbent. She's not over that magic 50% approval that you want to see when you're running for re-election that says you're a strong and tough to beat incumbent. Last year you had a lot of Republicans talking very big about how they were going to take that seat from the Democrats. I don't think I've seen anything so far that suggests Pete Hoekstra is really within reach there, and I think that's another sort of mystifying campaign to me. I it's not much of a campaign at all. I don't see Pete Hoekstra trying to define himself in commercials so much as trying to define her, which doesn't make sense for a guy that a lot of people around the state aren't that familiar with. And then you've had blunders in that race. Back in January, the Super Bowl ad obviously was not very smart. and this sort of obnoxious. I don't know if you've seen the Twitter account for Pete Hoekstra's campaign.
But, no, I have not.
It's one of the more bizarre campaign tools I've ever seen. It is a sort of smarmy, obnoxious Twitter account that just takes cheap shot after cheap shot at Stabenow and never says anything about Pete. It's quite obvious he's not controlling it. But the question is, why isn't he controlling the person who does control it? This has turned out to be not much of a contest either.
Well, you know, Stephen, and let's stick with Pete Hoekstra for a moment. When your campaign strategy is worst senator ever,
yeah.
The first question somebody asks themselves, even a Republican, especially an average voter, is she really the worst one ever? When you make that statement, you actually have to prove something, and those ads don't prove a thing.
No, they don't. And, you know, I mean, you have to be careful with that kind of hyperbole on a campaign because, again, I mean, immediately, as you say, people's minds go to other senators who've wound up in jail. And, you know, is she worse than Carol Mosley Braun was? Is she worse than, you know, Don Riegel, who had a seat here in Michigan for a long time, got into a criminal trouble at one point? I mean, there's all kinds of people who've been very, very bad public servants in the U.S. Senate, and I think it's hard for most people to imagine that Debbie Stabenow, whether you like her or don't like her, whether she ranks among some of the more egregious examples there. I think that's reflective of the overall campaign that Hoekstra has been running, which is to just attack Stabenow, and often on very flimsy grounds and with hyperbole, and not really try to define who is Pete Hoekstra and what would he do, why would he be so different or better. And that's especially hard to imagine when he said things like he wants to repeal the amendment to the Constitution that that established direct election of senators. You know, he's indulged himself in some bizarre rhetoric and actions that I think need more explanation for voters. And he's not offering that. He's sticking to the idea that he can win by trashing her.
Okay, let's stick with the topic, but let's change the question. How much does the Romney-Ryan campaign and the difficulties they're having affect the down ticket? And certainly we can look at that both state by state, but does it also filter into our local politics as well?
I'm somebody who thinks that defines the shape of every other race. If the top of the ticket is not strong, is not pulling people into the polls, then you're going to have problems in almost every other race. And so I think that if you look at Michigan, for example, where Romney is behind, but and not just behind, but now the polls say behind badly, I think you start to think about the potential for washouts for Republicans. Because why? Because, well, we've seen, you know, what happens when the polls here go very strongly one direction. You know, 4 years ago, John McCain said, I'm not even going to stay in Michigan through October. And you saw Democrats take just about everything that was available. I don't think Romney will verbalize the same thing because of what happened in 2008. But I think as a practical matter, they're far enough behind that you're not going to see a whole lot of money spent here in October. You're not going to see a lot of money spread around to other campaigns that need it. And so it becomes a question of how bad will the loss be. Even if the president loses the election, the margin here in Michigan could be disastrous for Republicans, and that could have a lot of consequences here. I mean, we've got a lot of a lot of seats that could change hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to take a break here, Stephen Henderson, and talk about that when we continue. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. My guest again, Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. And we are going to go to the break. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll take that quick break and be back right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I think this is a disruptive way to think. Mitt Romney should be running to be president of the whole country. You don't want to be president of all the country, you won't be elected president of any of them.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your rush hour traffic, where we picked up a big problem on the Davidson eastbound just before the Lodge Freeway. Accident is blocking all lanes. Got another reported accident at M59 westbound on the ramp to 75 northbound. You got an accident reported there. 94 westbound between Huron Street and US 23. We got heavy stop and go traffic there. That's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 66 and partly cloudy in the afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear and 48. Tomorrow, 63 and sunny, and it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Joining me now is the author of Obama's America, Dr. Ian Riefewicz.
Our friend Mitt Romney has a book called No Apology, The Case for American Greatness. And to me, this sounds like a five-year-old running for president. How can you say that? Our country is so great that I'll never, ever, ever apologize for it. Never, ever, ever. It sounds like the next thing he's going to say, I'm going to hold my breath until I turn blue. I mean, it's absurd. You have Barack Obama, and you can look at his statements on any number of examples, but he can talk in his Nobel Prize speech about our role in the world over time. He praised the tremendously positive things that we've done over the world, whether, you know, leading the coalition against Nazism or all these various things, but he also says, but there have been instances where we've made some mistakes. Well, that's very different from I'm never, ever going to apologize. It's recognizing that a country can be great and good and yet imperfect, and it can do better.
On 1310 WDTW. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Yeah, welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, Stephen Henderson is with us, the editorial page editor and the host of American Black Journal, the editorial page editor of the Free Press and the host of American Black Journal, seen on PBS on Sunday. Stephen, welcome back. I certainly agree with what you've said, and I think the Obama campaign has done an exceptionally good job of continuing to communicate with their grassroots base, which, by the way, outraised Romney last month. They've done a very good job of communicating the message. Don't get comfortable. Don't assume anything. You've got to vote. You've got to vote. You've got to vote. They're canvassing. They're opening up offices in Muskegon and Marquette. They're taking nothing for granted. I think that's a very good message to send to your base.
Oh, yeah. It's a great message to send to the base. It reflects the tenor of this campaign, which is on the Democratic side about turnout. There's no question that if everybody who's registered to vote in states like Michigan or other swing states shows up to vote, that Barack Obama would be reelected. The only way for Romney to win is for a sufficient number of those people to stay home, and so if you're the president, you've got to keep investing in the idea that this is an urgent election, that it's contested and close, and that you need everybody to get up on November 6th and go out and find their poll and cast their ballot. I will also say that I feel like some of the down ticket Democrats are doing a particularly good job of helping the president out. Some people who don't have really hot or contested races of their own are working really hard for the president, and that's going to matter. It's another luxury you get, I think, from being ahead. But again, you do need everybody to show up in order for the president to win, but then also for some of the down-ticket things that could happen to actually happen.
Stephen, how do you think this affects the ballot issues? Does a higher Democratic turnout help some of them, or does a higher Republican ticket help some of them?
I mean, I've long thought that the ballot issues cut pretty strongly in favor of Democratic turnout, and I've believed for a long time that was part of the thinking behind putting the ones that are on there. If you think about it, collective bargaining, that's a pretty Democratic issue here in Michigan. The 25x25 environmental amendment, that's likely to draw a lot of liberal voters. I think that's still true. I think that if the president wins by a big margin here, you're going to get those things closer to passing. But the polls on those ballot issues suggest that maybe that's not going to be even enough. We're seeing all of them now dipping into the low 50s or high 40s in terms of approval, which historically is just not enough. Because as you get closer to Election Day, more and more people tend to peel off of ballot proposals. So I'm not sure. I mean, we may see a reversal of that trend, so that the president does extremely well in Michigan and it's not very close, but that the ballot issues also go down.
Isn't this an interesting scenario? Because it certainly does look like the president will do well here in Michigan. I would be shocked if he does not only win the state but win it by fairly large numbers. Yet he could lose the presidency, as you suggested a little earlier on. That's still a possibility, whether people want to wrap their heads around that or not. Folks, start dealing with your reality. This is no time for denial.
Right.
Michael Moore had sent out an email a couple weeks ago, said, President Romney, how to never have to say those two words again. And what he really talked about was voter turnout, voter registration, voter turnout. So that continues to be a homogeneous message that needs to get out there. And, of course, we preach it here. I've said it. I try to do it in a very nonpartisan way. I want everyone to vote. I would love to see an 80% turnout, because then we truly get the government that we deserve.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you know, unfortunately, here in Michigan, we're somewhere around 30% of registered voters who are turning out for lots of these elections, and that's just not a good number. And you've got a Secretary of State who seems much more concerned with sort of phantom illegal voters than she does appear to be concerned with people who are eligible to vote and either aren't registered or just don't show up. You know, one other sort of interesting dynamic in this race coming up in November is what'll happen in Congress, which I think could be very interesting, because you know, you saw the Republicans carve that map up like a sweet potato pie on Thanksgiving in order to give themselves a huge advantage, but you know, in three districts that they created, I think they face at least the possibility, if not the likelihood, that they'll lose seats. And again, that gets back to the president's strong performance here in Michigan and how strong it will be, how many people he does get to the polls. That's another reason for people to show up, even if they think the president's fine. If you go in and vote down the ticket, there's some other things that could really cut the Democrats away.
We literally have just a little over a minute left, and I have to ask you, of course, in the Free Press this morning, an announcement that Mike Duggan will file paperwork today to form an exploratory committee to consider a run for the mayor of Detroit. He's supposed to announce tomorrow that he will be running. Just very quickly, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think we've expected this for a little while. I think it's a fascinating turn of events. You know, he'd be the first white mayor since 1973 if he won. At the same time, he's one of the more experienced business people in town. I think the early date here is an indication of how contested this race is going to be. This is going to keep us all busy next year up until Election Day in November then. So it's sort of fascinating.
Now, it is fascinating. And, of course, I got to tell you, although this is a Kwame Kilpatrick-free radio show, we're not spending any time discussing it. This trial comes at a time where it doesn't hurt anybody.
Right.
And if they're connected to that administration in any way and they're considering a political run, this will end it pretty quick. No, we are Kwame free. There are plenty of places, to get that information.
There's no question about that.
So everywhere. We don't need to do it here. Stephen, as always, I appreciate your time and energy, and I'll look forward to visiting with you next week, because we'll be then 7 days closer, and God only knows what we'll be talking about then.
Right.
All right.
That should look different.
Thank you, Stephen. Once again, appreciate your time here this morning. Let's get to the break. When we come back, it's time to Ask Lori. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Inside of your rush hour commute, we still got some big problems on your drive. Let's head over to the Davidson both directions at Rosa Parks Boulevard. Accident has traffic reduced down to one lane in each direction. Over on the Lodge, eastbound, just before Wyoming, disabled vehicle has your left lane blocked. And on M59 westbound at 75, accident has your right shoulder blocked at the start of the ramp to 75 northbound. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 66 and partly cloudy in the afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear and 48. Tomorrow, 63 and sunny, and it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you.
Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You can put earrings on a hog, but it won't hide the ugliness. A huge coal conglomerate learned this lesson the hard way in Eastern Kentucky's 6th Congressional District, represented by Democrat Ben Chandler. In mid-September, a TV ad suddenly appeared featuring a coal miner denouncing Chandler on behalf of the Republican lawyer running against him. The miner was decked out in bib overalls, T-shirt, and a hard hat, but the outfit was nothing more than earrings on a hog. This miner didn't have a speck of coal dust on him, had soft hands and an unlined face, and looked like a guy who'd be more comfortable in a suit. In fact, Heath Lovell is a suit, a coal company executive and Republican campaign funder from corporate headquarters in western Kentucky. Yes, they couldn't even get a boss man from the district to wear the garb and do the dirty deed, instead importing Lovell. You have a pencil pusher acting like a coal miner who did a union representative for real coal miners. In fact, the United Mine Workers have endorsed Democrat Chandler, particularly because of his stand for stronger mine safety rules, something the company has fought. In the ad, Lovell poses as a local and, standing along an empty train track, declares that Democrats in Washington are killing us. Us? He's an outsider who can't even vote there. He adds that Chandler and Barack Obama, quote, are putting the coal industry out of business. Yet his corporation pocketed some $300 million in profits last year. Later, he couldn't even remember the name of the small town where his political stunt was filmed. But he is said to be tight with Karl Rove and Mitt Romney, two other guys who are happy to compromise miner safety for mine company profits. This is Jim Hightower saying, these honchos seem to think that their hoaxes are a plus for them. But then, every hog thinks that's good looking.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. All of my technology is buzzing and banging and beeping. Lots going on this morning. That's not a bad thing, I assure you. We are, I'm looking forward to this. Over a week ago, we began the quest for questions for Lori Lamoran, the president of Planned Parenthood Mid and South Michigan. And we got him. Today's the day we put Lori to the test. But before we do that, we got to introduce her. So, gentlemen, an introduction, please.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves, an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, et cetera, that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity,
First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
And a gift it is, and we welcome back to the show Lori Lamoran, who just got an introduction. So, Lori, welcome to First Shift. It's great to have you with us today.
Good morning, Tony. Glad to be here in my scratchy voice.
You sound fine. You don't need to worry about that. And as long as you can make it through it, I'm going to tell you right now, this is definitely going to be a two-segment day. We got a lot of questions for you.
That's good. I'm ready to do it.
Okay. Well, listen, folks, it's, you know, just I'm first of all, I was pleased with the response to the questions. I think you're going to learn something this morning. Ultimately, that's what we want to do. But, Lori, before we do any of that, I want to remind people that a week from today, in our 7 to 10 o'clock hours, so for those 3 hours, we are going to dedicate those as a fundraiser, as you know, for Planned Parenthood, the advocacy part of Planned Parenthood. And so I'm looking forward to doing that. We're still putting some of the pieces together, but we've got time to do all that. Hopefully we're going to have a very pleasant surprise for folks. But I'm very excited that we've been able to coordinate this and get it organized, and looking forward to next Wednesday a great deal.
Excited too, Tony. Can't thank you enough for the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to being there in the studio with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. You are going to be in the studio with me, so that's going to be great. All right, we can't put it off any longer. It is time for Ask Lori, as I promised, and here we go. Question number one. Lori, where did you work before Planned Parenthood, and why did you find this job attractive, and how long have you done it?
Well, since I'll answer the last question first and tell you that I've been with Planned Parenthood 27 years last month, I didn't do a whole lot of anything before this.
When you were 3 years old?
When I was 3. Can you imagine?
Wow.
It's an amazing thing, yeah. I started as a medical assistant pretty much straight out of college, and have been there ever since. I've held 9 or 10 different positions in the organization. And I started there because I wanted to get paid to talk to people about sex. That's the God's truth. My poor father sent me to college, and that's what I wanted to do. And I find it attractive because I think I am darn lucky to have the opportunity on a daily basis to really have an impact on people's lives. And I think that there are very few people who in their professional role can really claim that.
Lori, has Planned Parenthood changed much since you first came on board? I mean, I realize your duties have changed, but has the organization changed much?
Oh, Lord. You know, I think it's interesting, Tony. Right now we are certainly in pretty significantly different political times, probably the most hostile toward my organization that I've ever experienced in 27 years. So that's a little different. I think we honored public health differently at various points in my past, where we had an understanding that ensuring that people that getting basic health care was important, and we kind of provided that safety net not only in Michigan but in the country. And then, of course, you know, I remember the days when we were mimeographing forms, and some of your listeners won't even know what the heck that is, but technology has certainly had a dramatic impact on how we do our work and what it all means.
I'm sure that's true. All right, next question. And I think this is a great question, by the way, because there are a lot. I actually get this question quite a bit by email. I've never understood if Planned Parenthood charges for their services, or are they free? And I think it's a really important conversation to have.
Common misperception about who we are and what we do. The answer is it's a combination of things. You know, we have folks who access our services on a sliding fee scale. We have some government funding that allows us to offer that. So patients with a smaller family income pay less than patients with a larger family income for many of our services. For some of our services, though, they're not provided at reduced cost. They're the same for everybody. Some of our STD testing, certainly abortion services, things like that. And while we do our best to ensure that everybody gets precisely what they need, some people are charged a fee, and we do everything we can to make sure that fee is manageable for the person that's in front of us.
So you do work with people, and indeed, if they, you know, really show that they can demonstrate that they can't afford services and they need them, you work with them.
Exactly. And I should also say that our services are not, though, limited to those people who actually need subsidized care. We have a significant percentage of our folks who have some sort of coverage, have their Blue Cross card or their OmniCare card or something in their pocket, and they're happy to choose Planned Parenthood because they think they get really quality services from us.
Yeah, and let me also point out to those people that do have health insurance that Planned Parenthood is an option. I mean, you can use it just like you would a doctor's office. So if you do
absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize that as well. I mean, you guys process medical claims. I mean, you know, you are a real clinic. This isn't some kind of witchcraft or hocus pocus. I mean, this is a real health clinic. Well, again, for people that have never been there, Lori, they need to know that.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. I think people have a very high misperception about how this goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this next question, and I'm glad he asked it, and it's a he, and I say that deliberately because the question, it makes a lot of sense. And one of those things, you know, I tell people all the time, the stupid question is the one you don't ask. So there's nothing stupid about this question at all. He writes, I am a guy, and I was wondering what you mean by women's reproductive health care. Is that just contraception and birth control?
No, I applaud this question because I think there are a number of people that don't know what we mean exactly. We use these vernaculars, and we don't necessarily explain them. So I think it's a great question. Mostly people should think of us like an everyday gynecologist. We don't necessarily put people in the hospital and follow their stays there. But beyond that, we do just about everything else that a gynecologist does. So we screen for cancers of the reproductive system, including ovarian cancer and cervical cancer and uterine cancer, certainly breast cancer. We test and treat sexually transmitted infections. We do general checkups that before prescribing birth control pills or another birth control of a person's choice. And we also manage and sometimes reveal non-gynecological issues. You know, in the course of doing an exam, we have to check a woman's thyroid. And so we have had patients where we have discovered things like thyroid cancer and come across other sorts of life-threatening or chronic issues that need to be addressed. And then sometimes we have to make referrals to other healthcare providers because the scope of our practice is limited, just like a gynecologist isn't going to treat your diabetes. So we have that same issue. But we really are sort of a full-service women's health provider.
Well, that actually brings us to our next question, because it sounds like you only treat women, do you?
Yeah, I shouldn't have said the way I said it the way I did, because we are certainly not a women's health provider only. About 6% of our patients every year are guys. In some of our offices, we do vasectomies, and those are sometimes on a sliding fee scale. And that's sometimes important for men, because even those people who have health insurance, it's an interesting fact for me to know that oftentimes health insurance does not cover vasectomies and tubal ligations, sterilization procedures. So people appreciate our sliding fee scale there. And we do certainly STD testing, HIV testing for everybody. And I'd like to add that many of our patients are from the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. And because we are not just about family planning, just pregnancy planning, we really are here to serve the sexual-related health needs that people have across our community. And the people in the LGBTQ community often choose us because they see us as a provider with compassionate and non-judgmental care.
Now, I mean, you know, that's and I can see where that would not only be important, because it would be, especially for and I don't mean to just point out the transgender community, but even within the LGBT community, a lot of times the transgender community can get a little lost. And anybody in the transgender community knows that I'm speaking the truth, because I've been dealing with these issues for years. So I know what I'm talking about. It's wonderful that Planned Parenthood is there. They're non-judgmental. They understand that there's an emotional component, by the way, to care. And they're very understanding and compassionate to everyone that walks in the door, no matter what your personal preferences are. And I really want to make that point.
Well, we really do honor people wherever they are. And what we understand is that folks come to us with their most private issues that they may feel uncomfortable talking about. You know, we are a society that for all of our talk about sex, et cetera, we don't really tell people how to be upfront and honest with these things. And it's often, you know, twittering and laughing, et cetera, et cetera. And people feel uncomfortable about what sort of response they're going to get to maybe their sexual behaviors or something that they think they've done that their mom or their grandma won't approve of. And that, you know, we really work hard to give people the care that they need, no matter what they come to us with or what their issues are, in a way that is completely non-judgmental.
All right. We do need to take a quick break here. We'll let Lori rest her voice for the break, get a glass of water, a cup of tea, and soothe those dulcet tones. And while we do that, we'll get some commercials in. This is Ask Lori on our Planned Parenthood Wednesday program, and we've got a lot more questions. We're going to get to as many of them as we possibly can. Haven't heard your question yet? Don't worry, it's coming up. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift. And Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Lori Lammer, and the president of Planned Parenthood Mid-South Michigan, is with us today in our Ask Lori segment. I hope this is the first of what will be many more to come. But let's just get Lori right back to our questions. And the next one is, who really goes to Planned Parenthood? We've kind of answered it, but we can get into it in a little more detail.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that who we primarily serve is teens, and really that's not the case. More than 70% of our patients are women between the ages of 20 and 34. We see a real cross-section of women from all sorts of socioeconomic categories, women that are black and multiracial and, you know, a real nice cross-section of our communities. About half of our patients have no insurance, so they're paying for things out of pocket or rely on our sliding fee scales I mentioned. Of those that do have insurance, like I said, about 10% have a regular insurance company that people think of, like Blue Cross or one of the other large health insurance companies. So it's kind of a little bit of everybody, but not primarily young people, although we certainly do see young people.
All right, our next question, and this is one of those educational ones, so if you've got young children and you don't want them to hear it, you've got about 3 seconds to do something. But it's another great question. What's the difference between a lambskin and a latex condom?
Fabulous question, in my opinion, because I think there's a lot of misperceptions about this as well. People like lambskin because they're touted as being more sensitive, that a man will feel things better if he uses lambskin over latex. The big difference is that lambskin, everybody will be grossed out by this a little bit, but is actually made from the lining of sheep intestines. Yep, that's what they are. And what that means is that they're actually tissue, which is permeable. So while they offer good protection against pregnancy, because sperm can't go through the tiny holes that are in lambskin condoms, viruses and bacteria and things that cause STDs sometimes can. So they prevent pregnancy pretty well, not so much STDs.
Yeah, and here's, you know, I'm just going to be a goofball. The first thing that comes to my mind when I read that question was, so what do you do for a living? Well, I actually make lambskin condoms because, you know, Lori, somebody has to make them. You know, they don't just...
Someone has to make them.
Yeah, they don't just that way, right? Well,
no,
whatever.
No, they don't. It's a real retro. We could do a whole show, Tony, on what people used to use as birth control in centuries of old. And condoms were made out of all sorts of interesting things in days past. So this is kind of a throwback.
Actually, in my world, the word no works really well. But I'll save that for another conversation. Next question in a similar vein. What kind of condoms are available to people who want STD protection but are allergic to latex? And that's a growing number of people, Lori.
It is a growing number of people. We have increased allergies in all sorts of categories, and latex is certainly among them. They do make polyurethane condoms because we just talked about the fact that those folks could use lambskin condoms, but they don't necessarily offer good protection from sexually transmitted infections. But there is such a thing as polyurethane condoms, and people with latex allergies can use them. Not everybody carries them, but you can certainly find them. I know Trojan makes one. A couple of other brand names do.
All right. This next one, again, another excellent question. You know, what I like about these questions, and I think you do as well, is they may seem like fairly obvious questions, but, again, as you said, it's stuff that we normally don't talk about. So we will. How much of your local funding comes from the federal government? Because that's always an issue.
Well, and certainly right now it has been a hot button issue in our political climate, no doubt. We do receive a pretty large family planning grant that originates with the federal government, and in the case in Michigan goes to the Michigan Department of Community Health, and they distribute it around the state. Of the money that comes to Michigan, we get a significant proportion of it because we are such a large program at Planned Parenthood. The fund is called Title X, and it was established in 1970 under President Nixon, interestingly enough, and meant to assist low-income women with their family planning health care. And so right now that federal government is about a quarter of our budget. But people should know, and this is key, especially in this political climate, that none of that money, and I can repeat this as often as I need to, not one thin dime of that money can be used to fund abortion care in any way. And my organization spends a lot of time and energy to ensure that we can track where all of the money goes and make sure that it does not in any way go to support abortion care. And so when you hear politicians say that they want to defund Planned Parenthood, people often believe that that's because those monies are paying for abortion services, and it is absolutely not true. What that money helps pay for is to subsidize women who can't afford their family planning services. That include things that we talked about before, breast exams to look for cancer, cervical cancer exams, regular annual exams, birth control, those sorts of stuff.
And I would imagine...
But the rest of our... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was going to imagine some counseling as well.
Exactly. And you know, a significant proportion of our money comes from good people who trust us with their hard-earned dollars and put it in an envelope.
Yep, absolutely. And we're hoping to fill that envelope next Wednesday. Next question, what is the most common STD among young people? Because I think that's probably changed over the years.
It has changed over the years, and right now chlamydia is actually the most common STD among people aged 13 to 24, and sometimes I think really 13-year-olds. We have to include those, but in fact we do. Chlamydia is thankfully a very highly, highly treatable sexually transmitted infection, but the problem with it is that people often don't know that they have it.
Okay, and I don't mean to go by so fast, but we don't have a lot more questions. I'm going to try to get them all in. What's the difference between HIV and AIDS? Another great question.
Excellent, excellent question. Again, lots of confusion about this. People can be infected with the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, without having any symptoms of illness. And in that state, they can also pass the virus on to partners, sharing needles or having sex, certainly. And people can live many, many years with HIV without having any symptoms at all or getting sick. A patient isn't classified as having AIDS until they have one of a series of diseases or symptoms that actually tell people that they are now moving from just being infected with the virus to actually becoming ill. And there is a specific blood T cell count that we take a look at, and technically to be considered to have AIDS, you have to have a T cell count that's below 200. And then they are likely to get other infections because that T cell count really represents their immune system not functioning appropriately.
All right. Well, we're not going to get all the questions in, but I did want to get to one of them. You know, there are people, as you know, that would love to help Planned Parenthood. And it's obvious by a lot of the questions that we got, Lori, people are doing a little window shopping. I mean, I think that's the best way to put it. How can they support Planned Parenthood if they want to?
There are a number of things that people can do. Certainly, as I said a minute ago, donations matter, and maybe the easiest way for listeners to help with that is to go to www.detroitchoice.org, DetroitChoice, all one word, .org. And certainly in this political season, if there are candidates people want to work with, or we have a political arm that knocks doors and does sorts of advocacy things for candidates, that's another way people can get involved. And certainly we are welcoming anybody that wants to be involved.
Absolutely. And by the way, that website right now is set up just for First Shift. So if you guys don't donate some money, they'll know. They'll know. You got to help me out here. We've got to get to the break, Lori. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to the fundraiser next week. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Inside of your rush hour commute, we still got some big problems on your drive. Let's head over to the Davidson, both directions at Rosa Parks Boulevard. Accident has traffic reduced down to one lane in each direction. Over on the Lodge, eastbound, just before Wyoming, disabled vehicle has your left lane blocked. And on M59 westbound at 75, accident has your right shoulder blocked at the start of the ramp to 75 northbound. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 66 and partly cloudy in the afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear and 48. Tomorrow, 63 and sunny, and it's currently 63 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Tony from First Shift.